It's Thought Leader Thursday. We're going to be talking a little bit about the Equifax breach and security at your bank. And Doug Myers is here this morning. He's an SVP, Private Banking Regional Manager at Associated Bank. Doug, good morning and welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Thank you, Steve. Good to be here. Thank you.
The Equifax breach is still on a lot of people's minds, still weighing heavily. It seems like it's out of the headlines now. But how are you and the folks at Associated Bank dealing with this and other advisors dealing with this behind the scenes?
Well, it's a huge issue. And banks obviously have a fiduciary responsibility to their clients to protect their data, as do other asset managers and other companies and other banks as well. And it's been a huge issue because we have found that anybody can go in and sit in a parking lot and collect data from a department store customers and bank customers and investment house customers, and it's a very scary issue. And I know banks are spending millions and millions of dollars on technology to enhance the security, as are department stores and other financial institutions. And, you know, we seem to put protections in place, and all of a sudden there's another hack, like an Equifax, as you talk about. And that, the Equifax issue was a big one, and it would hit personally to many, many millions of people because of the fact it was such personal data, not just credit card information, but credit information generally. And that's a scary thought. And so I think it's been hard for financial institutions, an example, to keep up with all the technology concerns. Banks are spending, we're spending millions of dollars. I know the bigger banks are spending billions of dollars on technology. And as banking continues to migrate to the apps and to the mobile world, technology becomes, and technology security becomes even more important to the consumer.
I'm trying to follow nationally some trends on this. I saw an interesting story in the Wall Street Journal recently about surveyed a couple of different wealth advisors. And it's interesting that the solution, at least part of the solution here, might be as much human as it is technological. One advisor is requiring more in-person signatures before things go forward. Others are requiring, the two-factor authentication, that sort of thing. Would you agree that the human factor here is going to be important?
Absolutely. And I'll give you an example. When we do wire transfers, there's been a lot of fraudulent activity in wire transfers, people buying houses and wiring monies to title companies, and wiring monies to overseas and domestically to authenticate financial transactions. And it's been a big challenge for us, and we spend a lot of time talking about the security and how to authenticate clients. And you cannot initiate a wire, for example, without talking to the client if you know him and know his voice, his or her voice. If you don't, they have to come into the branch, they have to sign certain documents, they have to make sure that we know who they are and what they're doing with their wire transfers. And so it just has become a bigger and bigger issue. And every day we wrestle with this. We get fraudulent emails several times a week asking to initiate a wire transfer, when in fact it's not our clients. It's someone who has hacked in to their client's email account and sent us an email to authenticate a wire.
Yeah, and that's the good thing of having that human contact that we've been talking about.
Absolutely.
You know the voice of your client. If you suddenly got an email from me that said, hey, I want to invest a couple million dollars, do it now, and you know that if you call me, you can hear my voice, and that's the authenticity that I'm looking for.
Absolutely. And there's a concept in banking called Know Your Client, KYC. And that's very important, because if Steve is a client of mine and he's wiring to a foreign country that is out of his scope of things he normally does, we're going to call you and question you on what are you doing. And sometimes it's legitimate and sometimes it's not. But it goes back to having that relationship with the client, talking to the client, knowing what he's doing.
Part of the thing that scares me the most about all of this is with the information that the hackers got in this breach, this is going to be a lifetime of being on guard. And it seems like already people have sort of lost sight of this so soon after the hack. I mean, if we're going to have to be worried about this for the rest of our lives, we're going to have to be more vigilant.
Well, absolutely. And I know even Congress has gotten involved on certain parameters that they're requiring credit reporting agencies to follow going forward because of this hack. And I think the government's going to have to get involved in protecting the consumer when this is so prevalent in our society today.
One of the other scary stories I saw is one firm, you talked about the emails that come in. One firm was out of 12 emails that were, it was a test, a drill, if you will, that 11 times the bank responded and fell victim to the phishing attack. That's a big deal to try to get on top of that.
It is, and we go through a lot of training classes as a bank. We're continually challenged to make sure we monitor our emails, to make sure we know where that email is coming. If we don't know the sender of the email, for example, we might not want to click on an attachment, because what we have found is the hackers typically get into a company or a corporation by the employee's emails, by planting a link, and then if you click on it, that gets them entrance into our corporate system. And so as employees, we're constantly trained and warned about being careful with your email account, making sure you know the sender. If you don't know the sender, maybe not click on the email and open it.
Lots of cloud computing is happening these days. I know it's big in banking. And while that might prevent sort of a physical attack, how risky still is cloud investment?
Well, the cloud situation is changing as we speak, and more firms are going to cloud computing, I think, as data becomes more and more prevalent. Banks are going to do the same and go to the cloud for software applications and things like that. And so, once again, it's spending a lot of money on technology to keep it upgraded, to keep it secure, and it's constantly changing. And it seems like every time we turn around, the hackers get smarter than we are, and then we have to implement certain things and changes. And the cloud is a perfect example of how do you protect that infrastructure, as we know it as the cloud, to prevent people from going in and capturing data.
Along the lines of that human interaction we were talking about earlier, there's now a nice scientific study that proves what we've been talking about in the past here in our thought leader conversations, that robo-advisors in wealth management, people really want that human interaction regardless of how good these robos are.
Well, absolutely. And when you sit down with a financial advisor, the advisor is going to know what your goals are, what your philosophy is on investing, for example, what your risk tolerance is. And a robot who's giving artificial intelligence and throwing out different product parameters or recommendations are not going to know the human side of it. And once again, especially in wealth management, it's all about the relationship, how we know you, what's going on in your life, and following a financial plan or goal-based financial planning to make sure that we're on track to your personal and professional goals, so to speak.
The study from MIT, the research on this suggested that part of this is trust. The people who are involved in this, the artificial intelligence, the robo-advisors, you had no idea where their motivation to do something was coming from. So if the robo-advisor was telling me invest in this, invest in that, my trust in that is questionable because I don't know what the motivation is.
Well, you've taken the human equation out of it. And once again, for certain products or some of the retail investing, the robo technology works, but when you get into wealth management, a true wealth management relationship, you can't take the human interaction out of it.
Some of these robots, too, are a couple of high-profile incidents recently where the robots, artificial intelligence, have just sort of gone on their own and started doing things, made a couple of the experts step back and say, you know, maybe this isn't totally perfected yet.
Be a good sci-fi movie.
It would, but when it has all my money, that's kind of scary when I think about that. Let's talk about the tax cut plan, because this is what's, you know, in the headlines.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of things about this for savings. One of them is the tax credits that people get to save for college education. College education savings accounts might go away. We're also talking about taking away the student loan interest deductions. For somebody who has wealth management, a program of wealth management or savings, how is this going to impact that?
Well, I don't think the final version is yet to be determined on this tax plan. I know that we had discussion yesterday about the mortgage deduction, where it's been proposed that you only have up to $500,000 of mortgage deduction, and after that it becomes taxable. And that's a big issue, especially in wealth management, because as people tax plan, you know, they're planning on, you know, if they have $1 million mortgage, for example, they're planning on getting that whole tax deduction. And if that goes in half, that's going to affect their tax planning and their taxable bill at the end of the year. So these things have been proposed. How the final version is going to shake out, I don't think anybody knows. I know as we speak, Congress is now looking at the tax plan, and there's going to be changes to it. On the mortgage side, I know that there's been several caveats behind the standard $500,000 deductible that they're discussing. I know on the college tuition plans, they're taking away part of that deduction, but then they're increasing the personal deductions to possibly offset that. Mm-hmm. So I think the final version, nobody knows how it's going to shake out. There's a lot of things that are going to be proposed to offset some of the other things that are being proposed. So it remains to be seen how that's going to affect. But in wealth management, tax planning is very important. And we have tax planners on staff who work with our clients and make sure that they're doing all the tax advantage things they need to do to minimize their taxes as much as possible. And that's a big part of our wealth management discussions with clients.
The bottom line is it's hard enough to get people to save right now. We shouldn't make it any harder.
Absolutely. And people do certain things to take advantage of tax efficiencies. And when the tax laws change, they have to readjust and maybe do some other things to counteract the changes in tax planning. And that's going on as we speak right now. So it's very important for us to keep abreast of what's going on. We have tax planners on staff, and we spend a lot of time going through 400 pages of the mortgage interest deduction proposal and to say what really is going to happen here and what do our clients need to do to offset this proposed change.
Well, we'll definitely stay tuned, and by the time we talk again, chances are this will all be different.
Absolutely.
Doug, good seeing you.
Thank you, Steve. Pleasure to be here.
Doug Myers, Senior Vice President at Private Banking, Regional Manager, Associated Bank, in our Thought Leader conversation this morning. Remember, you can hear past conversations and meet all the thought leaders at associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. You can also hear our past conversations at WGNradio.com on the opening bell page. And don't forget to follow Associated Bank on Twitter @AssociatedBiz.